Let's have a quick word of prayer. Father, thank you now as we look into your word. We ask that you'd bless this time together. Help us to see how much you love us and how much you care for us. And we just give you praise now. We ask that the words would be yours and not mine. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Well, John chapter 9 is where we want to look today. And somebody said, boy, that's a really good chapter. And then somebody else said, well, yeah, but there aren't any bad chapters, are there? So, John chapter 9. Now, it's a lot of reading, but it's God's word, so let's go follow on. It's entitled, Jesus Heals a Man Born Blind. As Jesus passed by, he saw a man blind from birth. And his disciples asked him, Rabbi, who sinned, this man or his parents, that he was born blind? Jesus answered, it was not that this man sinned nor his parents, but that the works of God might be displayed in him. We must work the works of him who sent me while it is day. Night is coming when no one can work. As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world. Having said these things, he spit on the ground and made some mud with his saliva. Then he anointed the man's eyes with mud and said to him, go, wash in the pool of Siloam, which means sent. So he went and washed and came back seeing. The neighbors who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, is not this the man who used to sit and beg? Some said, it is he. Others said, no, he kept saying, I am the man. So they said to him, then how were your eyes opened? And he answered, the man called Jesus made mud and anointed my eyes and said to me, go wash in the pool and we'll go to Siloam and wash. So I went and washed and received my sight. And they said to him, where is he? He said, I don't know. They brought to the Pharisees the man who had formerly been blind. Now it was the Sabbath day when Jesus made the mud and opened his eyes. So the Pharisees again asked him how he had received his sight. And he said to them, he put mud on my eyes, and I washed, and I see. Some of the Pharisees said, this man is not from God because he does not keep the Sabbath. But others said, how can a man who is a sinner do such things? And there was a division among them. So they said again to the blind man, what do you say about him since he opened your eyes? He said, he is a prophet. The Jews did not believe that he had been blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had received his sight and asked them, is this your son who you say was born blind? How then does he see now? How then does he now see? His parents answered, we know that this is our son and that he was born blind, but how he now sees we do not know, nor do we know who opened his eyes. Ask him. He is of age. He will speak for himself. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be the Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Therefore his parents said, he is of age. Ask him. So for the second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, give glory to God. We know that this man is a sinner. He answered, whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, that though I was blind, now I see. They said to him, what did he do to you? How did he open your eyes? He answered them, I've already told you, and you would not listen. Why do you want to hear it again? Do you also want to become his disciples? And they reviled him, saying, you are his disciple, but we are disciples of Moses. We know that God has spoken to Moses, but as for this man, we do not know where he comes from. The man answered, why, this is an amazing thing. You do not know where he comes from, and yet he opened my eyes. We know that God does not listen to sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, God listens to him. Never since the world began has it been heard that anyone who opened the eyes of a man born blind. If this man were not from God, he could do nothing. They answered him, you were born in utter sin, and you would like to teach us? And they cast him out. Wow, long passage, but there's lots of different places, lots of different topics that we could cover from what we've just read here. We could talk about how Jesus has power over eyesight, and can make a blind man see. We can talk about how Jesus has power over health in general and the people that we've already prayed for. And how he even has power over death, because we know that he raised people from the dead as well as raising himself from the dead. That could be a topic we can talk about, but that's not it. We can talk about physical blindness and spiritual blindness, and how the Pharisees had spiritual blindness even though they could see. They just didn't seem to get it. And we'll touch on that a little bit. Helen Keller said, "The only thing worse than being blind is having sight but not vision." That was an interesting comment. We could talk about how this man's obedience showed his faith. He was told to go to the pool of Siloam and wash, and he did. Wouldn't it be appropriate if we sang that song, "Trust and Obey"? Because that's what God wants us to do. Trust and obey. Jesus told the man what to do. He went and did it. He didn't disagree or argue. Naaman in the Old Testament was a man who had leprosy, and he was told to go to the Jordan River and wash. And at first, he wouldn't do it. He was refusing. He wouldn't do it. He didn't trust or obey. But here we find out that this blind man's obedience showed his faith. But what we want to look at today is this man's testimony to other people. What did he say to other people? What did he tell them about? What did they talk about? And how did he help show them to Christ? His testimony to others was, "Once I was blind, now I can see." So look at his testimony to all these different people that he touched upon. His testimony to his neighbors. In verse 8, we said, "Then his neighbors and all those who had seen him before as a beggar were saying, 'Is not the man who used to sit and beg?'" So he was a testimony to his neighbors. He was telling that there was a difference. The difference was he was blind, now he could see. And people were trying to figure that out. Then he was a testimony to the Pharisees. In verse 13, they brought to the Pharisees the man who had been formerly been blind. So he went to the Pharisees. That was an interesting group to witness to. They were the religious people of the day, the organized religion of the day, and he was a testimony to them. He was a testimony to his parents in verse 18. The Jews did not believe that he had been born blind and had received his sight until they called the parents of the man who had been received his sight. They asked him, "Is this your son who you say was born blind? How does he now then see?" His parents answered, "We know that this is our son. We know that he was born blind. But how he now sees, we do not know." They didn't know, but they knew that there was a change. There was a difference. Something happened. And they brought the man to the Pharisees again in verse 24. So for a second time, they called the man who had been blind and said to him, "Give glory to God. We know this man is a sinner." He answered, "Whether he is a sinner, I do not know. One thing I do know, though, I was blind. Now I see." There was a difference. That man knew the difference, and he was telling everybody. Who was he telling? His neighbors, his parents, the Pharisees, the religious people of the day. He was telling all of them there was a change in his life, and Jesus brought about that change. Well, one of the things that we want to see from this is what do we get out of this? This is a neat story, but what do we learn from it? What can we apply to us today? This story is a couple thousand years old. What we can see from this story is that this man shared his life, not his doctrine. He could give a testimony of what happened to him. He was different. He was blind. Now he could see. He didn't share any doctrine. And the reason he didn't share any doctrine is because he didn't know any doctrine. And let's read a little bit beyond where we stopped there before. Jesus heard this, that they had cast him out. And having found him, he said, "Do you believe in the Son of..." I gotta move over here where I can see what's going on. "Do you believe in the Son of Man?" He answered, "And who, sir, is he that I may believe in him?" Jesus answered, you have seen him, which is interesting because he hadn't seen anything else before this. You have seen him, and it is he who is speaking to you. And he said, Lord, I believe, and he worshiped him. He didn't share any doctrine because he didn't know any doctrine up to this time. He didn't even know who Jesus really was until Jesus introduced himself. And I think this is where we get confused a lot of times when we want to witness to somebody. We get all excited about how are we going to tell them about creation? How are we going to tell them about substitution and propitiation for our sins and all these big words and all these things. And we're not even sure what they all mean ourselves or how to explain it to them. But what we need to do is don't worry about that. Just share what's the difference. What happened to us? How were we different? This man didn't know any doctrine. He couldn't share any doctrine because he didn't know it. The Pharisees were the ones who were self-proclaimed experts. They knew all the doctrine that there was. They even made up doctrine so that they could prove it. Of course, they kind of missed some of the main points about Christ, but they made up all kinds of other doctrine instead. They were self-proclaimed experts in the doctrine that they knew, the doctrine that they wanted. Look at verse 22. Listen to what it says. His parents said these things because they feared the Jews. For the Jews had already agreed that if anyone should confess Jesus to be Christ, he was to be put out of the synagogue. Well, you heard that old saying, my mind is made up, don't confuse me with the facts. That's kind of what they were doing here. They'd already decided that if you confess Jesus, we're going to put you out of the synagogue. Well, they didn't even want to consider Jesus themselves. How could they say that? Well, what this man did, he simply told what he knew. Something was different. He was blind and now he could see. This reminds me of what Pastor said when he's been preaching on the book of Acts. And back in Acts 4:13, that was a few weeks ago, talking about, here it is, talking about the Pharisees again. When they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were uneducated common men, they were astonished and they recognized that they had been with Jesus. They were unlearned, common men, but they could tell something was different about these guys. That reminded me of the first pastor that I ever had. I trusted Christ as my Savior when I was in college. And the first pastor I had was Pastor Tiffany. He was kind of an ordinary guy. That was a word that we just read here. Ordinary guy. But there was a difference because I was saved into a college church where we were all college kids. And Pastor Tiffany had a 10th grade education. So we knew that he wasn't more educated than us. He knew that he wasn't, couldn't do the math problems or the other problems that we could do. We knew that. But when Pastor Tiffany would open his Bible, the scriptures would just unfold right in front of you. He could talk about this passage over here and this passage over here and show you how that they mesh together just like a couple of gears, gear teeth just fit all together from here and there because he knew the scriptures. Everything came alive when Pastor Tiffany would open his Bible. What was the difference? He knew Jesus. He wasn't as educated as we were. But he knew Jesus, and that's what gave him the difference. And he was able to share that with a lot of us college kids, just like this blind man was able to share. Didn't know a great lot of theology, but he certainly knew what the scripture had to say and how it was talking to us. Pastor Tiffany would challenge us. He'd say, did you ever notice that when you buy a textbook in college that after a couple of years it's no good anymore because you have to buy a new one? They've changed something. And then he'd say, the Bible doesn't change. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Have you ever heard a pastor say, the Bible is never wrong? Have you ever heard that somewhere? Yeah, you've heard that somewhere. But textbooks change. They keep changing things all the time. I flunked a course one time and had to buy a different book to take it over. Boy, what did that hurt? That's like a double hurt. In mathematics, we always had to prove a theorem, and then you could use it. Pastor Tiffany would say, in the Bible, you use what it says, and it'll prove itself to you over and over again. You find a promise and claim that promise, and God will show you that promise is true over and over again. He'll show that to you. Well, here's another interesting thing. That was over 50 years ago now, and yet I can still remember some of the things that he had to say. Why can I still remember what he had to say? Because it wasn't just his words, it was God speaking through him. So here's an interesting story. Pastor Tiffany, it's kind of hard to tell on a hot day, but Pastor Tiffany talked often about the rapture. He could get all excited about the rapture, and he could even get us excited about the rapture. So here we are, one early spring morning in the Upper Peninsula. You got to kind of envision yourself. Well, first off, it's too hot to envision snow, and second off, it's, anyway. And we're sitting there in church, and all of this beautiful, bright spring morning, probably one of the first days of spring that was going to get up above freezing and start to thaw a little bit. We're sitting in church, and all of a sudden, we heard a noise up above us. When we heard that noise up above us, we began to wonder, and it got louder and louder and bigger and bigger and louder and louder, and all of a sudden everything went dark, and I think all of us in the church were about a foot off our pew, off the pew. We were on our way. It was the rapture. And all of a sudden, ka-thump. And then we realized what had happened. The entire mass of snow on the roof, the whole length and width, slid off the roof, about a foot thick, slid off the roof in one big piece, and that's what made all the noise, and it kept getting louder and louder as it slid faster and faster. And then when it went past the windows, it got dark, and we said, boy, we're on our way now. We're up and ready to go. And ka-thump, and that's when we realized it was just snow falling onto the ground. So we were on our way. And you know what? I still look forward to the rapture. And I think it's because I've already had the practice for it. So, but what in the world was the difference with Pastor Tiffany? There was a difference because Jesus had changed his life. What in the world was the difference with this blind man? What was he saying? He knew there was a difference because Jesus had changed his life. What happened to Peter and John when they were witnessing to the apostles? It was a difference because Jesus had changed their lives. What was the difference with the Pharisees? Nothing. You can read your Bible from beginning to end, and everything you read about the Pharisees, they're still the same way. Nothing changed in their heart. They were just not believers. So the question becomes, has your life changed? Can you think back to when something happened, something made a difference? When you accepted Christ or when you began to live for Christ? And the thing we need to do is to share that. We don't need to try to share great theology or great doctrine or things like that, but share this with other people. Just as you're just talking with other people, just drop in little things here and there that just kind of give a little testimony for the Lord. Jesus healed the blind man, and it made a big difference in his life, and it made a big difference in all the people that he came in contact with. Does he make a difference in the people that we come in contact with? That's the question that we need to ask. Let's pray a minute. Father, thank you now for this time that we've looked into your word, and we ask that you would help us to be able to remember it, and help us to be able to meditate on it, and help us to see how it changed our lives. So we thank you and praise you. And now to the King of the ages, to the immortal, invisible, the only God, be honor and glory forever and ever. Amen.